Welcome back, my APP humans. This is a potential podcast with Tracy Lee. This is episode 11 if you count the trailer, and 10 if you don't. So it's a new month. We did Jesus Pod Month last month, and now we're going to do a little something I call Be Better Month. The reason I've chosen Be Better Month is initially I was planning to do work pods because the month starts with Workers' Day, but then I realized that I decided rather let's just work on being better as people instead of working in general. I don't know if that makes sense. Anyway, whatever. So yeah, this month I'm pretty much just going to be doing pods that give me information, give me a little extra knowledge. And the big thing or the big idea is I'm trying to use this platform to actually help me improve this platform. So these are pods that are just, yeah, about being better, learning something new, gaining some new knowledge and seeing what you can do with it. Anyway, another thing that is actually quite interesting is I did a little bit of math, and by the end of this month, we will have had 10 reviews and I would have reviewed about 21 podcasts in total. It would have been 20, but I decided to do a threefer. Still not a word, but yes, that time when I did three pods, now we're here. So we're doing the countdown to 21, everybody. So let's go. And also another thing, this episode I'm going to be doing a little bit differently. Instead of just giving you the fun facts, which I still will because I need you to know about the podcast I'm talking to, I'm going to just pick an episode that had a topic that actually called upon me and then just talk about my views and my ideas based on that topic or whatever it is. So let's jump on in. First things first though, obviously let's get the admin out of the way. I need to tell you the pods we're reviewing as well as the episodes we're going to talk about, and then we can just jump into the topics. So first thing, the two pods are Stuff You Should Know and Freakonomics Radio. So I chose these two because one, Stuff You Should Know felt like, yeah, that sounds great for Be Better Month. And then Freakonomics Radio is because there's a lot of really hard topics in Freakonomics Radio that make me think a little bit, but also just the fact that like I don't listen to things that make me think too hard. But in this case, I was like, no, let me push myself and learn something about a topic that I don't necessarily know a lot about. And yeah, I think it would be super valuable. So let's get in. Let's get into Stuff You Should Know. So the show concept is all in its name. It's literally stuff that you don't know that you should, or at least in their opinion. The hosts are Josh and Chuck. The duration is about 40 minutes to an hour, but there's short ones in between called quick hits. And then they post a little weirdly, because I actually did the math on this one. So they post three full episodes on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and then a short one on Wednesday. So yeah, this is a lot going on there, but there's content. You will never be bored. And then the other one is Freakonomics Radio, which is hosted by Stephen J. Dubner, and he's the co-author of the book Freakonomics. In their words, it's the hidden side of everything. So the same type of vibe as the other podcasts like Stuff You Should Know, but just another contender. And then their duration is about 30 to 58 minutes. It's very strange. Like, their durations are slightly odd. But anyway, so that's that. And then they post weekly, like normies. So yeah, but let's jump in. So Stuff You Should Know. The topic or the episode that I chose was how attachment theory works. Yes, it's heavy. But I was like, let's go heavy, rip the band-aid, and let's do this thing. So I'm sure we've all heard about attachment theory and the various just attachment styles and the different things that come as a result of your childhood and how you attach and how you grow as a person. And I was like, you know what, let's learn about attachment theory. It's there, it's stuff I should know, so let's know about it. The thing that is interesting about attachment theory is the fact that it starts with your parents. I guess we all kind of know this, and I feel like it's ingrained in us, but it's kind of cool to put words to it. There's different kind of stages of attachment, different things that kind of lead to you attaching the way you do as you go through your life. So there's pre-attachment stage, which is from birth to 3 months. There's indiscriminate attachment, which is 6 weeks to 7 months. This is when preference is given to primary and secondary caregivers. Then there's discriminate attachment, which is 7 to 11 months, and then multiple attachment. Oh, sorry. And then that discriminate attachment is when kids have more anxiety around strangers type of thing, but they're attached to the ones that they know. And they also have separation anxiety whenever they're separated from their like
primary people. And then there's multiple attachments, which is often 9 months, where they can attach to people outside of their primary circle. I thought about this and I'm like, obviously at these ages, you're not actually aware of what you're doing as you're doing it. So I sat there and I'm like, okay, maybe I can unpack in my life when I started developing my attachments. And I'm like, I can't remember what I was thinking at 11 months. Let's be serious now. So I was like, cool, great information, but now we're here. But anyway, let's get into the actual meat. So these four stages lead us to the four patterns of attachment. And these are the ones I actually want to talk about. So there's ambivalent attachment, which is very distressed when a parent leaves. It's as a result of poor parental availability. Children feel like they can't depend on their caregivers. Avoidant attachment, which is they avoid their parents or caregivers because they don't show a preference between them and a complete stranger, which I thought was quite interesting. Disorganized, which is a confused mix of behavior, sometimes disorientated or like confused. I was like, geez, that's quite hectic. But they lack a clear attachment pattern, which I was like, deep, okay. And then they're secure, the one that everyone is aiming for, which is when you're secure, you know that whenever you're attached to someone, when they leave, they're coming back. So personally, when I read about these, I was like, cool, what attachment style do I have? And I realized that I think I have different attachment styles to different people. And I think it's mostly just because I might be disorganized. Hold on. Anyway, whatever. Because I think it's because of the fact that I feel secure attachment to my mother, but I think I'm more of an avoidant with my father. So I guess that mix and the just sheer just part between the two is the reason why I have the styles I have, because I do find myself attached in a certain way to some people and not to others. But the thing that's quite interesting about attachment theory is the fact that, like, when you spend time with people, you start realizing how attached, and not in this case, but like attached you are in different ways, and how there's certain things that people do or ways you interact that kind of like affect you in certain ways, which I thought was quite cool. It's fun to learn about things like this, and the reason I wanted to learn about something like this is because of the fact that I feel to grow you kind of have to go back to the beginning a little bit, and it's hard obviously to remember who you were at 11 months, but it is interesting to kind of go back and reflect on what is it that is happening now and trying to figure out what happened earlier and that type of vibe. Especially obviously if you're trying to actually, you know, have kids and go into, you know, caring about others and stuff like that. But yeah, so I was like, let's get into it. Honestly, the thing that truly tripped me up was how early you can mess your kids up. I was like, well, anyway, so yeah, that's what I learned about attachment theory. I actually read up a little bit more on it, and it's actually quite deep and it's quite interesting. I'm actually going to put a link in when I post this episode to the website that I read it on. It's actually the same website that I used in my introverts versus extroverts episode, so I kind of trust them. I already put them up, so where now? But yes, so that is that. So then the next pod is Freakonomics Radio. And with this one, I went a different direction. Instead, I chose knowledge as opposed to something more emotional. So the episode I picked is Google getting worse? The reason I picked this episode is, one, I have been thinking about Google as a whole and just the ecosystem and how many different apps and things they try and so many things that are available. I personally have a Google ecosystem. My phone is attached to my Google. A lot of my accounts are attached to my Google. Also, I use Google Docs, Google Sheets, all of the things. I use Google Calendar, and you don't realize how integrated it is in your life. And I was like, cool, let's actually find out a little bit about Google and what's going on. In this episode specifically, I picked it obviously for those reasons, but actually in this episode specifically, they're just talking about the search functionality and how it's actually just changed from what initially was happening in the beginning. The interesting things that were kind of said in this episode were the fact that we had so many search options before Google even came to being. I didn't realize that we had so many options, like things like Metasearch and Dogpile. These things were all there, but then Google came along and they're like, their whole goal was to make sure that search was easier, faster. And another thing that they added that those other search functionalities didn't necessarily have is they added ratings. So the way they did it is if someone had used certain links in the bibliography, those, like, they algorithmed before algorithm was algorithming, if that's a thing. So they literally took what people preferred the most, or the ones that were the most clicked on for the reference to this topic, and then they pumped those up. So it was a thing of the best information would find its way to you the fastest and at the top of the list. That was the initial plan. And then eventually Google realized money. So then it became about ads. I'm literally summing this up. You need to listen to the episode to hear what they're saying. But pretty much what happened was the profitability of Google is all about advertising, because they started doing this new thing, which was selling ad space in searches. So it's kind of like, if you think of the Yellow Pages, for all you children out there, the Yellow Pages is a book that had all the people that do the things you want them to do before there was a Googles. So anyway, so it's kind of like the Yellow Pages, except they go through the whole of the Yellow Pages and find the best ones based on other people using those best ones and then serving them to you. So Google realized that it's profitable for them to sell the search, like the search functionality. So people are now paying to be at the top of the list. The thing that is actually quite interesting that I did learn from this is that what would happen before, or at the initial part of this idea, is the people who would pay for their searches to be at the top are generally better people. Like their resources or whatever it is that they're providing you are the best versions. So if someone is willing to pay for the thing that they're selling you, or like pay for the thing that they're selling you to be shown to you first, you'll find that it's actually usually better. The thing that's interesting now is because of the fact that there's so much money just thrown at ad spend without actual thought or actually thinking about the product itself, it's now become a thing where the reason the question was asked, is Google getting worse, is now it feels like whenever you click search on Google or whatever search functionality you're using, or actually mostly Google because we're talking about Google, what happens is you're just thrown with a bunch of information that actually feels useless. Now, that feels like counterintuitive to what they were trying to do initially. So they actually had a conversation with the Google lady. Well, there was a lady from Google who came and discussed. And she said something interesting. She's like, making you pay, because the only way to actually make Google the way we kind of want it, if you want only the best results for what you're looking for, would be making you pay, like subscribing to Google. And they're saying making you pay would actually go against the goal of Google as a whole, because the idea that they're trying to keep is they're trying to keep democratized access to information. Democratized, a word I learned. Anyway, so they're trying to keep a democratized access to information, which means that to keep Google as freely open and like letting everybody be able to access the information they need when they need it, they have to keep it the way it is. So on one hand, you have, I guess, two sides of the coin. Are you asking yourself, it takes me much longer to find the information I need when I search something on Google. But then on the other side, the reason it takes me that long is because they're making sure that everyone is able to access so many things. Also, just because of the fact of how many things they've done as a result of that. I mean, Google, as I said, has created a full ecosystem. They've created different things and they're innovating and creating in so many other ways. Smart cars, all of those great things. Google Maps being one of the number one navigations in the world. So it's a thing where you have to ask yourself. It's actually ironic. The guy says it in the episode, Stephen, that is his name, yes. So Stephen says it in the episode to the lady from Google. He's like, so should I just shut up, suck it up, and be happy that you guys are giving me this? And she's like, no, not necessarily. We want you to complain. We want you to give us queries and questions and, you know, come at us with different things that you require and ways we can be better. But understand that we do need to take the time to develop those things if we are going to continue to keep Google what it is, which is free and open for all to be able to access the information that they need. Now, I went on the pathway, I went down the rabbit hole, but the thing that kept just like recurring in my head is the chokehold that Google has upon me. Because as I said, I have a whole ecosystem. Everything, like a lot of my information is linked to pieces of Google in some way. It's the reason I chose my phone, because I need Google services. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not gonna lie, guys. America and China just need to be okay again so I can get a Huawei, because, yo, Samsungs are expensive. Anyway, and also, I'm not getting an iPhone. Whoever comes at me with iPhone nonsense, don't come at me. I'm not getting an iPhone. I refuse to get an iPhone. It's a lot of money, and no. Just no. Okay, so I was just like, look, with all the other options, I'm trying to get the best phone for the best price. And then Huawei's like, nah, bruh, we don't do Google. And then I'm like, so then what am I doing? It's a lot. It caused me panic, so I just got a Samsung. But now I need to get a new Samsung, and then I realize Samsung is expensive. I'm going in a bit of a loop, but we're here. So I say all of this to say, Google. Interesting. If you ever want to find out more about it, I really would go down the rabbit hole, just simply because of the fact that you don't realize how much of your life is actually linked to Google and how much information they actually have on you. All these little information companies. Maybe that's another thing I must go on a tip about. But yes, all these little information companies. But Google knows a lot about you, dog. Like, legit. Just take a second and think about it. Actually, oh my gosh, I once did this thing where I went on Google and I went into my trip, like, trip history, whatever. Google, like, asks me questions about places I was a long time ago. And I feel like, I know you know where I went. But also, I don't like that you know where I went. Anyway, whatever, I said it. I'm a conspiracy theorist as well. Ooh, maybe we should do conspiracy theories. Anyway, different types aside. So that's the reason I went on those two. Guys, honestly, I'm trying this. We're freestyling. We're trying something different. And I love the fact that I have this freedom and this ability to do this. So I do want to hear you guys' thought. This is Be Better Month. And the idea is that I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to add a little bit of knowledge to my brain. And see what happens as I add a little bit of knowledge to my brain. So to close this guy off, just to go back to my little scripty script that I didn't look at as much, be so proud, friends. Please like, subscribe, share, do all the things, cue the point on the screen. I know that I don't point at anything because my editor didn't decide to himself he's going to put different buttons. Instead, he decided to put it in the corner and make me look crazy, but it's fine. We ain't got beef. We're not fighting. Maybe we are. Whatever. Anyway, so I figured let me leave you guys with a deep quote to leave you thinking. And the quote that actually came to me, I've heard it in various forms from different people, but I found like the actual quote and I wanted to say it to you guys. And the quote is, "Without knowledge, action is useless. Knowledge without action is futile." This quote is by Abu Bakr, and I want you guys to kind of ponder this during the course of this month, because as much as I'm giving you all of this information and we're going down this pathway, I do also want to be held accountable to, cool, you learned something. What are you doing with this information and how is it changing your life? I don't just want to throw information at you, and I don't want the information to just be there for the sake of being there. It also needs to be something that we take on and do something with, because I do find that we spend a lot of time listening and taking in a lot of just knowledge, and you think just by having the sheer knowledge that you're doing something with it, but you're actually not. If it's not changing your life, if you're not doing anything with it, what is the point? So in Be Better Month, I am not just, you know, coming for people's necks, I am coming for my own. I am trying to apply a little bit of greater thinking to the things that I've learned as I learn them. So in this case, I am trying to pay more attention to my attachment styles and how it's flowed from different things in my life and where it comes from, and trying to be a little bit more self-aware, but also something a little external, like I said, with Google, where I'm trying to be more aware of, I'm throwing all of this information at this, I guess, I don't know, I can't even call it an ether because it probably is like a bubble, a drive, a cloud. Yeah, a cloud. I'm throwing it all into a colorful Google colored cloud. And I need to understand exactly what's going on with that information. Where is it going? What is it being used for? We all know that Google was actually sued for some, you know, privacy things at some point. People broke into people's things. But anyway, so I say all of that to say, please keep that quote in mind. And I really want you to ponder it as we go through this month, because I am going to throw a lot of knowledge at you, but I also would like that knowledge to convert itself to wisdom. And then another quote that I heard from my neighbor as I was fetching the bin. I just thought this quote was cool. I want to say that it links to the things I was talking about, but I just thought it was cool and I figured let's just throw it in. And the quote was, "Hard times make hard men. Hard men make easy times. Easy men..." Oh, sorry. "Easy times..." Wait, nah, let's say that properly. "Hard times make hard men. Hard men make easy times. Easy times make weak men. Weak men make hard times." There's something about that quote that had my brain reeling, because it makes you review so many things. And a friend of mine just shared with me that the meaning of that quote, because he explained it to me, is... you're constantly having to raise warriors, people who are ready to fight the existence that is life. And now I'm just kind of thinking about that as well. So I want you to take that and, I guess, put it in your pipe and smoke it. Sounds so old timey. Anyway, we're here. So my friends, the people who listen to me on a bi-weekly and maybe weekly soon basis, we made it through something different. In APP, in HD, my crew, I love you all. And I'm so grateful that you've given me this little piece of internet and you're willing to go on this journey with me. This has been a Potential Podcast with Tracy Lee. I pray this podcast and I live up to our potential.